Did you know that every word you speak matters? Are your conversations making a difference? With a passion for words and a heart for conversation, Teresa Velarde is a self-professed word nerd, best-selling author, BizCat 360 columnist, and publisher. Children's books as well as fiction and nonfiction books are welcomed at WeBe Books Publishing and Book Endeavors, the imprints of her company, Authentic Endeavors Publishing. Whether written or spoken, Teresa strives to encourage and inspire meaningful conversations that make a difference. Here's the host of Conversations That Make a Difference, Teresa Velarde.
Hey everyone, and welcome to Conversations That Make a Difference. I'm Teresa Velarde, your host for this hour, and I am excited to bring back my guest, John Gray. We're going to get started in just a moment, but first let me say that Conversations That Make a Difference is live on the first and third Tuesday of every month. This is the second Tuesday of the month, so this is a special event, and we are also on Tuesdays and Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and 5 a.m. They have the replays of the shows. You can listen live on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. You can listen in your car, on your mobile phone, on YouTube, and you can even ask Alexa to play Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Join us on our replays, and you can go to dreamvisions7radio.com. And as you know, we usually start with a prayer, so I'm going to do that before I introduce my guest. And let's say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And it is by God's grace that we are indeed fabulous, blessed, and highly favored, living in our greatness, using our gifts and talents, making a difference in the lives of others with passion and purpose, and all of God's great universe is conspiring in our favor. We gratefully say, amen. So let me read John's bio so we can get a little bit, know a little bit more about him. He is the author of the most well-known and trusted relationship book of all time, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus. USA Today listed his book as one of the top 10 most influential books of the last quarter century. In hardcover, it was the number one best-selling book of the 1990s. Dr. Gray has written over 20 books. His most recent book is Beyond Mars and Venus, Relationship Skills for Our Complex Modern World. His Mars-Venus book series has forever changed the way men and women view their relationships. John helps men and women better understand and respect their differences in both personal and professional relationships. His approach combines specific communication techniques with healthy nutritional choices that create the brain-body chemistry for lasting, healthy happiness and romance. He has appeared repeatedly on a number of popular daytime talk shows. He's been profiled in Time, Forbes, USA Today, and People. He's even been the subject of a three-hour special hosted by Barbara Walters. John Gray lives in Northern California, where for 34 years, he happily shared his life with his beautiful wife, Bonnie, until her passing in 2018. Together, they have three grown daughters and four grandchildren. He's an avid follower of his own health and relationship advice. John, welcome back to Conversations That Make a Difference. Good to see you again.
Yeah, good to see you. Happy to be with you.
Thank you. So tell me what's new and exciting in your world.
Well, what's really exciting is my daughter, Lauren, who teaches relationships at MarsVenus.com. She and I have put together over the last year and a half, this amazing online videotape program. And we launched it. People are loving it. It's called Understanding Men. And now that it's done, I've been recommending it to my male clients as well to help them understand themselves. But most importantly, helping women understand the men in their lives. And one of the ideas there, it's not obvious. These things, once you understand the differences and the hormonal differences between men and women and our backgrounds, then it makes sense. If you don't understand, relationships just don't make sense. And one of the biggest problems in relationships is actually the solution in all relationships. And that's this tendency of men to go to their cave. If a man doesn't go to his cave, then he stays on his female side and he becomes passive, irritable, grumpy, unmotivated, can even become angry, argumentative, or just passive, weak. So these are the qualities of what happens when men don't take their cave time. And then, so men have to learn how to take their cave time, and then you can take cave time. And I talk about that in Men from Mars, how men need to at times detach, pull away to strengthen their masculinity, and then to blend in with their feminine side through intimacy and relationships. So it's finding balance again and again. Cave helps man to cope with stress, feel his desire for passion and connection with his partner. And based upon men's different body types, they have different challenges when it comes to the cave. And a woman should know that, because often women say, well, men in my past weren't this way, or my husband wasn't this way. And it's because different body types and will cause different types of men to use the cave differently. And then there's the big problem of, for some men, the cave feels so good, how to get them out of the cave, you know, why men pull away and don't come back. So how she contributes to that, and how she can actually help him, to motivate him to come out of the cave. So some men, you need to get him in the cave, and simply put, if he's not in his cave, you'd have to take your cave time and understand why that's necessary to create distance. And for some men who go into the cave and don't come out, you need to learn the languaging of how to motivate him to come out of the cave. And without this biological understanding, women would feel like, well, why do I have to do that? Well, why do I have to do that? Well, it makes sense to you. It becomes less of a burden when it's easy and it makes sense. Whereas the flip side of this is we could say, well, men could say, well, why do I need to listen to her when she wants to talk about her feelings, you know? Or why do I need to take so much time for foreplay if I want to have sex? And why do I need to be monogamous if I want to grow in love and have great sex? You know, men could ask these questions. And if they don't have the understanding of how women are, they'll feel like this is too much of a trouble, too much of a bother. And so it's learning in a practical sense how to find that connection by also taking time away, which is understanding men's cave time. And that's just one of the things we talk about in the class. So it's quite amazing. And people are just, you know, when I wrote Men Are from Mars, I did not have this in-depth understanding. But after a year and a half working with my daughter, who lives these ideas in her relationship of 10 years, she just added so much more to what I've written in Men Are from Mars. And then took as well the ideas of Beyond Mars and Venus, which we'll talk about today. So that's all at marsvenus.com. If you go there, you can take that class. And for anybody who goes there and just wants to warm up, we have a free class right on the front page called How to Get Everything You Want in Your Relationships. And that's an introduction with some very practical insights. If you're single, or if you're in a relationship, or you're married, or you're not married, if you're a man or you're a woman, it's like many, many different courses depending upon where you stand when it comes to relationships. Lots of resources, but the most exciting thing for me now is we finally finished the Understanding Men course, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really awesome that you really dive deeply into the various differences between men and women. So, and this information that you're offering is not just for love relationships. It also helps people to carry on relationships friend to friend, male to female, and in the workplace and so forth, right? So this information can be translated into any relationship, true?
All the Mars Venus ideas can be translated, because they never just talk about how men are, they talk about how men and women are different, but what they do is they help women understand themselves better as well as men, and for men to understand themselves better as well as women. How to regulate stress is very, very important, whether you're in a relationship or not. And if you have sons and you're a mother, it's very important to understand how males, because even as little boys or teenagers particularly, these things still apply, and they're kind of exaggerated.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a few minutes. Let's talk about how to manage stress, because as you know, we are in a stress-filled world these days on the outside. How can we manage it so that we have that calm on the inside as we go through this time?
Well, there are thousands of really nice stress reduction techniques, you know, from exercise to breathing exercises to diet, you know, and regulating your diet. But the problem is, when you're stressed, it's really hard to regulate your diet. And when you're stressed, you often, you know, for example, meditation is a really powerful tool to lower stress. But if you're really stressed, you find that meditating for many people is more stressful.
Yeah.
You know, trying to relax. It's like, wait a second, I'm trying to relax. They did a study on women, and it wasn't just directly associated with meditation, but it was having men relax at the end of the day, and they did brain studies, and literally brain activity almost stops. But for women, they said sit down, relax, and brain activity increased. Their stress levels didn't go down. But there are tools. I was a teacher of transcendental meditation 50 years ago. I still do meditation. Mm-hmm. I've combined a lot of different techniques together. But for beginners, meditation is a great technique. However, taking all these things into perspective, they're mind techniques, and then there's body techniques. There's not a lot of people that use and have the understanding of how relationships are both the major cause of our stress, and with extra relationship tools and insights about ourselves in relationship, about our partners in relationship with us, about our work environment in relationship to us as a man or a woman. Nobody's written about that yet. And that's been my expertise in this book, Beyond Mars and Venus, to just like an outline of how to use any of these techniques that are out there, how to make them better, much better. But at the same time, even without them, how to lower stress. So it comes to this love. I mean, it's about love. So what is love? Love is when your heart is open. And that could be in a romantic relationship. That can be in a friendship relationship. That can be when you're having a good time. That's when you in your garden or you have a pet. Any of these things that when there's love involved, your stress levels go down. And this is biology. The biology of balance is, you can see it in the body. And for men and women, the way there is the opposite way. Now, this is what's fascinating. We look at stress hormones in a woman, that's cortisol. Stress hormones in a man, that's cortisol. That would be either fight or flight or fake or fold or freeze. There's a lot of F's there. And we all have our own temperaments and personalities and biological experiences. But any of those tendencies are destructive to relationships. So if you're fighting, that's not good. If you're running away from your partner, you're afraid of intimacy, that's not good. Mm-hmm. If you're faking, you're just pretending, there's no real connection, attraction goes away. If you're folding, then resentment builds up. You just sort of give in and give in, and you don't assert yourself. And then if you freeze, you just go numb in the relationship. That's kind of like pushing all your feelings down.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the unhealthy coping mechanisms to deal with stress.
Mm-hmm.
They may work in the short term to a certain extent when our priority was survival. You know, if there's danger, we want to run away or we want to draw our sword, you know, or we want to make friends and pretend. And, you know, these are mechanisms that are in us. But what we have to recognize, if we go straight to the biology, when you're producing cortisol in your woman, there's a hormone shift that takes place in terms of your male and female hormones. Let's first define those male and female hormones. For women, the most important hormone for well-being and happiness and lowering stress tends to be estrogen. Women, as a general rule, and this is simply found on Google searches online, a woman, if she's has a sense of well-being and she's not stressed, her estrogen levels will be about 10 times higher than a man's. Now, that's very important. And if she has romantic feelings, her estrogen levels will be twice as high, double again. So it's like 20 times higher than a man's.
Mm-hmm.
So there's behaviors that will actually raise estrogen. For example, anytime you do anything you love, it's going to raise estrogen. But if you feel, I have to do it alone because nobody's there for me to do it with me, you won't make as much estrogen. Estrogen is a very relationship hormone, feeling that I have a need and I can look to somebody to help me, estrogen will go up. For example, we were talking before, just great foreplay for sex, and men should all know this, is that driving a woman in the car in a way that makes her feel safe. See, men don't understand, when you have a high estrogen body, you tend to be much more aware of outcomes and dangers. So women have a higher anxiety and fear threshold than most men, because that's estrogen. So when she's sitting in a car, which is a dangerous place, men generally don't feel that threatened unless their wives are driving. But let her drive for you, notice how you feel. Well, multiply that times 5 or 10, And that's how she feels. But when she's feeling the need for protection, the need for safety, and she can trust him to drive, then her estrogen levels will soar, which is what foreplay is all about. All romantic gestures are about men doing things to raise her estrogen. Because when estrogen goes up, her stress goes down. And there's lots of ways to produce estrogen. Another, for example, is if you have a religious conviction, and a lot of people have given up that, but if you actually have a belief and if you are experience of the divine, then you have this feeling, I can depend on that. If I'm a good person, if I do good things, I can depend on that. Whenever you feel I can depend on something to support us, estrogen goes up. Now, a lot of women have lost that because over the last few hundred years, the connection to the left brain from the right brain has gotten stronger as we become more articulate in language. We become more logical and reasonable. So when you're logical and reasonable, you can sort of break through all of the notions about spirituality or religious ideas, and you don't have the experience yet of what is spirituality. You're kind of left alone. And so again, any kind of spiritual activity that you believe in brings you, that you love to do, that you enjoy doing, is a major estrogen producer. Mm-hmm. Anytime you go to a therapist or a doctor, for example, your estrogen goes up right away because you're depending on that person for something you can't give yourself. Right. See, that's the whole key to it. When you have a need and you depend on it, your estrogen levels start to go up. But think of the plight for so many single women, which is they've denied the need for men because basically, where are the men? There's no men. I'll have to do it myself. And any woman today who gets in a relationship with a man, they don't know the skills that I teach how to raise a woman's estrogen levels in the relationship. Women need that. They don't know they need it, and they don't have a man who knows how to do it. My books, my message, you can easily teach a man. It's very simple stuff. Mm-hmm. But we don't have a culture that supports that because in the past, the culture supported women's estrogen levels by making them dependent on men. That was it. If somebody's dependent on a man, like my parents, my mother depended on my father for money. He had a job. She really appreciated that. But as soon as if she had a job and he has a job, how can she appreciate him so much since she also works? It's kind of like, well, why should I appreciate you? I also make money. So
yeah,
it's literally when you need something, then somebody provides it. You have a lot of gratitude. And we'll talk about gratitude, Teresa. Yeah. You love talking about gratitude. And so I do. So when you feel I have a need and it's met by something outside myself, you feel this surge of gratitude. And that's estrogen. That's it. Okay. But you have to actually have somebody you're dependent on, something you're dependent on, estrogen goes up. Now, some women gain a lot of weight just because they eat too much food because they depend on food to make them happy. And estrogen levels will temporarily go up, but it's not healthy. Mm-hmm. So there's the dynamic over on one side. That's the female side of it, estrogen. You lower stress when you behave in certain ways that will raise estrogen. Another interesting thing is shopping. Shopping is a big stress reducer. It doesn't have to be online shopping. That's going to temporarily work, kind of like pornography temporarily works for men's testosterone levels, but leaves it empty. What you need as a woman is, and we lost this during the lockdown.
Yeah.
And everybody got used to using Amazon, and it's so convenient, it's so easy, but we don't recognize that when you actually go shopping for food, so either eating out in a restaurant, are shopping for food are major estrogen producers. Now you can go shopping for clothes and those things. You might go broke doing that. But, but there's something about a real need. A real need is more estrogen producing than something I have too much of. You know, too many shoes, for example. I know women love those shoes, but that's okay. You got to have your enjoyments. But the real meat happens when you go to the grocery store or you go to your garden or you go to your farmer's market. You're interacting in a field or in a situation where there are other people who are shopping too. Mm-hmm. The big, big estrogen producer. So we just want to remind people, quit going online so much for everything and get out there where you're around people and you're interacting and you're seeing other people doing what you're doing. This is a connection, a belonging. All of these are estrogen relationship producers.
And that's so important. And I'm sorry, not to interrupt you, but that's so important. But as you said, when we were locked down, all of that got taken away from us. by virtue of the fact that we were all locked indoors to avoid what was going on outside the doors, you know? So now you got to get back into the swing of things. And it would be interesting to hear from you how men react, like, because I know people who are, the men are the ones that stay at home with the children. The women go out to the work, to work. They're the ones doing the grocery shopping. Is there a difference in how the hormones react to men in those situations?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go over to the male side for a moment. So for men, too much estrogen, which would be if he had the same estrogen levels as a woman, he'd fall asleep. Okay. That's what happens in sex, actually. When a guy finishes, he falls asleep. He pulls away. He's ready to turn over. That's because estrogen levels went too high. Anytime you do something that you love to do, that you enjoy to do, that you like doing, and there's no pressure that you have to do it, that's a major estrogen producer. Okay. Mm-hmm. So this is like amazing. So for men, anytime they do something that they have to do, that's uncomfortable to do, that's a sacrifice to do, that's difficult to do, that's a challenge to do, that's the action to achieve a goal, strategizing, how will I get to the goal? How will I get there? And what will I get when I get there? Like how I get paid, how I make money, what I have to do to get there. This is all testosterone production. When a man is solving problems, he's making testosterone. When there's problems in front of him that he wants to solve and he can't solve them, then his stress level goes up. When a man is in place of, I've got it, that's it, I got it, I know how to do this. Like right now, having an interview, I know how to do this. Yeah. Not even nervous, okay? Because I know how to do it. This is my life. I do this effortlessly. And that's one thing, I know I'm solving problems. So if I get that I'm solving problems, testosterone gets produced. Mm-hmm. Another source of testosterone is when I do things that are not necessarily easy. See, this is easy. Easy is my estrogen, but I know why I can do this and my testosterone goes up because I'm making a difference. The reward for me is I know I'm contributing to the world. Mm-hmm. If I didn't know I was contributing to the world, nobody was listening to me or it wasn't very helpful, I wouldn't have testosterone. But I would basically maybe be making estrogen because if I like talking, I like talking. So men, you know, a lot of artists, for example, are skilled artists and they write music just for themselves. They tend to go too far to their female side as opposed to the discipline of writing, of doing something, you know, learning how to play an instrument and all that. That's one form of discipline that makes testosterone. But then they say, you know, I'm not doing this to help other people, to get a positive result from others. I'm just doing it for myself. That's going to be not a big testosterone. When you do things just for yourself, there is some testosterone without a doubt, but it goes higher when you're taking your skills and your discipline in service of others. Mm-hmm. Think the soldier who goes into battle, he trains, he sacrifices, he does difficult things. That teaches him how to be masculine. I'm not saying I do difficult things all the time. Part of me, one of the difficult things I do is I always make sure I have integrity. I always make sure that I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Yes.
If I don't do it, I make amends. You know, basically that strengthens, I keep my word. I set goals. I follow through. I do things even if I don't want to do them, if they serve a higher cause. You know, one of the things with my wife, Bonnie, one time we got a little puppy. She wanted the puppy. She went out and picked it out. She brought it home. Hope you like the puppy. I said, yeah, I like the puppy. And I'm trying to keep a long story short, but you have to get these shots here in order to have your puppy legal. So she said, oh, I'll take the dog to the vet. Okay. And she did it. And when she got home, she talked about how much traffic there was, how far away it was, how noisy the dog was. It was very protective. It's kind of like a big bad day. So the next time she went, the same thing happened. And she told me in great detail how horrible it was to take the dog to the vet and why don't we have one close by and all this stuff. And I just listened. So the third time she said, so John, we need to do one more shot. We need to get one more shot for the dog. Do you want to take the dog this time? I said, no. And she says, what? How dare you? And I get it. I get it. How dare you? And I said, I didn't say I wouldn't do it, honey. I said, I don't want to do it. Well, if you don't want to do it, I'll just do it myself. It's, hold on, hold on. Language makes a difference, particularly in my language, as on Mars. If you ask me, do you want to take the dog to the vet? My answer is no. But as I said, if it will make you happy, I'm then happy to do it, and I will do it, and I want to do it. I can change my mind. But if you just ask me, do you want to take the dog to vet? I said to her,
no.
Why? You asked me, why would I want to take the dog to the vet knowing how terrible it was of an experience? So in certain places, women can take men very literal, and other places, men can be very literal. And we have to kind of understand where people are coming from more. And that helps us to interpret. So I said, no, don't really want to do it. But if it makes you happy, I'm happy to do it. What do you mean you don't want to do it? How could you not want to do it? You know how I do this and you're not going to do that. So she got it. She learned, you know, had to learn about men, and I was able to communicate about me. Of course I want to go. Yes. But when a man does something he doesn't want to do, but he'll change his mind because it will make her happy, then he wants to do it. Let me give you another example.
Hold on one second.
Yep.
I hate to interrupt you.
I know we got a break.
But that's okay. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. We'll continue the story with another, this interview with another example of how this works. So we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Conversations That Make a Difference on Dream Vision 7 Radio
Network. What if dreams can diagnose your life? What if we can meet the love of our life in dreams? Join host Kat O'Keefe Canavas, the number one internationally best-selling author of Dreams That Can Save Your Life, written with Duke University medical doctor Larry Burke. Dreaming Healing is where we'll explore dreams, research, and interpret dreams from you, the caller. Dreaming Healing shows can be heard every Tuesday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern, with live shows on the first and third evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. Come live your dreams out loud with Kat. Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship, or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Omega Institute, offering workshops, retreats, and online learning dedicated to awakening the best in the human spirit. For over 40 years, Omega has seen more than 1 million people come through its doors to grow, learn, and find a greater sense of purpose. With over 350 workshops to choose from, Omega offers something for everyone. Located in Rhinebeck, New York, just 90 miles north of New York City, Omega's natural environment and quiet pace allow for extraordinary experiences to unfold. Learn more at eomega.org or call 877-944-2002. Again, 877-944-2002.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back with John Gray. Men are from Mars, women are from Venus, and we're getting a great lesson in communication skills here. Because everything that you're saying to me is like, I don't want to go, but because it makes you happy, I'll go. And that's where we end up.
And women can do that as well. But the difference is women will be keeping score. Okay. They have a big tendency to keep score about that. I did this for you. When are you going to do more for me? A man if he does something he doesn't want to do, and you appreciate him for it right then and there, you know, he comes back. All he needs is to be acknowledged. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Gratitude melts a man's resistance. So appreciation melts his resistance. Yeah. And he doesn't hold on to it all. It's not like he's going to be tit for tat. Well, I did it this time. You should do it next time. We a little bit of that will do. We have a female side. But the majority of us is that sacrificing ourselves, selflessness brings out the strength of masculinity. So let's put it in hormonal terms now.
Okay.
So women under stress, they tend to have low estrogen levels. And if we were going to go deeper into it, we'd see, which my book does, at different times of the month, she needs healthy estrogen, but she also needs more progesterone, which mm-hmm. is doing what she likes to do, where she's not so dependent on someone. But enough is just to get female hormones are so important for women. Now for men, male hormones are important. And the most important one here is testosterone. If a man is depressed, his testosterone will be low. And what people don't realize, if he's producing stress hormones, his testosterone will be low. Always, when a man is anxious, or depressed, or grumpy, irritable, angry, aggressive, all those qualities will be associated with a man's testosterone going down and his estrogen going up. Mm-hmm. This is wake up call. You mean a man when he's angry, his testosterone is going down? That's right. It's not testosterone that makes him angry. It's testosterone lower than the increase of estrogen. All emotions, positive or negative, is increasing estrogen, which is why often women can become addicted to negative emotions because it feels good to express them, but it's never productive in the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it makes you unhappy in the long run. So because you're never changing the situation with love. Nothing changes in our lives unless we're coming from our love, not punishment, not judgment, not criticism, none of that stuff. It just keeps coming back, the problem. Mm-hmm. So for men, simply put, testosterone levels are always associated with stress, low testosterone. Normal testosterone for a man, if he's not experiencing cortisol, stress, he will have normal testosterone. Okay. Normal testosterone for a man is 10 to 20 times higher than a woman. 10 to 20 times higher than a woman. So maybe I'm a little stressed. I'll say to my wife, I'm just going to go for a drive in my car. That's it. All you have to do for men to lower stress is put yourself in a dangerous situation and be confident. Okay. This is why these guys will go hunting. These guys will go, boxing and wrestling. You put yourself in a dangerous situation and you have skill and you're confident. As a young guy, for me, I studied martial arts. You know, you're having a fight with somebody and it seems like it's a real fight, but you're following rules. Football, mm-hmm. you know, I want to kill the other team. You see, there's like aggression going on, but really this, we're following rules. Everything is primarily safe. Okay. There's no real danger here. So men put themselves in dangerous situations, but they do it in a way where they're confident that they're safe. As soon as they're in a dangerous situation and or challenging situation or a significant situation, which would be dangerous if I was to fail, and he feels confidence, his testosterone goes up. So in short, a problem, and he has the answer to it, testosterone goes up. And so he's very motivated to solve problems. So you'll see mostly men are firemen. Mostly men are soldiers. Mostly men are doing stockbroking, which is high danger, high stress.
Yeah.
You know, this is all, and mostly men will have more tickets. Mostly men will get into jail more, get into cheat more. Anything that you do, which is dangerous, and you think you can get away with it, or you can accomplish it, or you can achieve it, or you can achieve some noble goal, that's going to produce testosterone. Now you saw there, some are very sort of elevated things to make testosterone. Some are very low. I'd say the lowest is, you know, wanting to hurt somebody. You feel it threatened by them and revenge, you know, this is a big testosterone producer. So we have to realize we want to choose the best things to produce our testosterone so our lives don't fall apart and people love us.
Exactly.
So there's practicality there. But why do people do anything if you're male and they're motivated? It's because in some way it's going to be producing testosterone. So what we have is this natural tendency to move as men towards testosterone things, for women to move towards estrogen activities, relationship activities, fashion, feelings, therapy, health, nurturing, family, marriage, all those things.
All of the above, right?
All of the above are like topics around estrogen. I remember when I first discovered this was, you know, I'm a therapist, so I work with this all the time, but you know, my own personal life, I get my insights and my many of my insights. And I'm on vacation in Hawaii and I'm listening to my three daughters and my wife talk. This is that, you know, they're not doing their jobs at that time. So they're on vacation, but what do they talk about on vacation? What are you going to wear? Where are we going to eat? Do we have reservations? What did you think about that restaurant? What is that woman wearing? What should she be wearing? Why is she wearing that? Why are they getting that table? Why are we not getting, it's all about.
And there's you in the middle of all of this.
I'm just relaxing, thinking nothing. Okay. There are two types of guys, maybe more, but the vacations I tend to go on are sedentary, where I just don't do much at all. That's one form of cave activity where for me, it's meditation, relaxation, also reading, and then some surfing. Okay. Some guys, they need action-oriented vacations, adventure vacations, and so forth. I like the adventure without so much the danger of hurting my body. I used to, I must have had eight concussions in my life, you know, and accidents or whatever. I tend to be quite a risk taker. So there were vacations for me. Skiing was a fun vacation. But see, action oriented produces testosterone. Mm-hmm. So, by the way, body types, in my new class, Understanding Men, women can know what are the best vacations for this guy? Although you can kind of see where he wants to go anyway. But if you want one kind of vacation, he wants another. You don't take it personally, like he doesn't want to do that. But as a woman, your power is, I know you like to do that. So you can go with your guy friends and go do that. But with me, this is what I like on my vacation.
Yeah.
So it's very important. What I just expressed there is the secret of one of the secrets of lasting romance, which is women asserting what they like and several things and telling him to pick. See what he gets to be in charge of picking, but you get to in charge of what he picks. And it should always be what you want and what you would like, because you'll make more estrogen. If you're sacrificing yourself to do what he wants, because this happens all the time, women will say, what do you want to do? He'll say, what do you want to do? And she'll say, I don't know. What do you want to do? And he'll just take charge and say, let's go do this. And then years later, she says, we only do what you want to do, because she hasn't asserted herself. So there's just to know, if he wants to do something, he'd do that for himself with a guy friend. But if you want romance, it's always, underline always, on a consistent, deep level, it's him providing for her. Because when he provides for her, testosterone levels rise. When she feels somebody is giving me what I would like, what I need, that's estrogen stimulating. So now these things start making sense when I suggest things. Here's another estrogen booster if you're in a relationship and you're a woman. Show vulnerability. So vulnerability is so much of the time. And I can't say every woman, all right, but I can say the thousands of women that I've counseled and the hundreds of thousands that I've taught in seminars who will experience vulnerability, some for the first time, and be supported and feel really good. It's as simple as standing by the car door waiting for him to open it. Well, what are you standing there for? It's like, I'm trying to allow you to do things for me. The opposite of that is what a man can say to a woman who doesn't want to wait to have you open the door for her, is what I said to Bonnie is, honey, I want to open the door, not because I think you can't open the door. It's because you do so much for me and everybody else tonight. Let me do everything for you.
That's so nice.
That's romantic. See, nobody ever taught that. Men think romantic is on Friday night to say, hey, honey, what do you want to do? I'll do whatever you want. That's nothing. That's passive. That's not putting anything in it. But men always say, don't expect me to be a mind reader. I can't know what you want, particularly after 10 dates where she always found something wrong with it. That's sometimes the case. He figures, okay, well, you pick.
And then she can't decide.
So he doesn't even think. But the reality is he doesn't know. And women, if you just say to them, what do you want to do? They don't always know what they want to do. And sometimes women have to say no to something and no to something and no to something. Then they know what they really want to do. So this is a dynamic of men suggesting, well, we could do this. And no. if a man does that, he should know you probably need about three rejections. The fourth thing you suggest, now she knows what she wants. And so she'll say, no, I don't want that. I want this. Or she says, yes, I'll take that. Because just the freedom to be able to, in a playful, free way, to be able, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. That creates estrogen as well, to be able to set a boundary. Mm-hmm. I don't want, without somebody making you wrong, that you're not a good, loving person. So there's mm-hmm. so many tools and techniques. And now we go into some of the problems of couples, because relationships can be a bigger source of stress than work.
And agreed.
The relationship should be the way stress goes away. I mean, one time a guy gets mad, gets angry, loses control in some way. She'll remember that. She has PTSD of that the rest of her life, because she'll feel, I don't know what to do. I didn't know what to do to stop that. Well, it's a simple thing. Whenever a man starts to escalate or a woman starts to escalate into intensity, we all know intensity, the voice becomes a little more focused, more tone, more anger, more hurt, whatever it is, and we get louder. Stop that. If you want to feel power, you basically just say, excuse me. Well, I have different phrases for women to say than men, but for a woman, you work out a phrase, a safe word, where you say, you're being mean, you're being loud, and walk out of the room. It just means we have to have a stop to escalation. Yeah. People are addicted to escalation. All addictions are escalation. If I want to feel alive, I go faster. Well, that's an addiction to going faster, as opposed to just going easy and feeling fully alive.
Yeah.
We want new and different, instant gratification. You know, we live in this society where we're bored unless we're being entertained or we have an intense situation. And intensity, another subject that I write about, is addiction. Intensity is dopamine. That's what cocaine is. It's intensity. Now, what people don't realize is that when men do porn, for example, they do get a huge surge of testosterone and it goes right back down and their estrogen levels go up again. Okay. It's like a disaster. It does produce testosterone, but over time it will lower your testosterone again and again and again. Now, that's what's happened today. The young generation all do porn. And really, you can make that generalization. They can't find, at least for studies, they can't find a control group of males in their 20s or teens who don't masturbate to porn. This is like horrible. This is disastrous. The average is 2 to 3 times a day for teenagers. This is males, and now starting to be with females. Now that they've indoctrinated women to think that loving yourself is grabbing a robot and stimulating yourself. This just desensitizes women. Over time, for men, pornography desensitizes males to be turned on to a real person.
Yeah.
You see, a real woman produces dopamine in a man, testosterone in a man, estrogen in a man, oxytocin in a man, progesterone in a man, prolactin in a man. To be connecting and touching and caring for each other, yeah, produce a host of hormones that prevent it becoming addictive. But if you have sex online or with a stranger or somebody you don't care about, you don't have any estrogen, you don't have any progesterone, you don't have prolactin, you don't have any oxytocin. So all you have is high dopamine stimulation, which then raises testosterone. But then the result of that, like with any addiction, is now you're dependent upon that high stimulation, and normal stimulation turns into low stimulation.
Yeah.
It's dangerous. And you know, it's amazing how everything's going downhill as we've got this gender fluidity, which comes from certainly as we become evolved as a species. I mean, look at me. I'm an evolved person. I have everything I want in life. I have lasting love. I have great communication. I'm 70 years old. I have great sex practically every day. I have everything most men dream of. And I'm connecting to God every day. I have spiritual experience. Mm-hmm. You know, I've had good teachers in my life. That's all I can say. Really good teachers and really good parents who guided my way. I was just looking at my Wikipedia page. I don't know how some things get on that thing. But one of them is when I was a baby, my parents drove from Texas to California so I could be blessed by Yogananda, which was, one of the guy who wrote autobiography of a yogi, you know, eventually that, yeah, I became a yogi. You know, my mother had a spiritual bookstore, esoteric ideas, out of the box ideas, where you don't just believe in God, you experience God, you experience the divine, you experience that through practice. You know, that's why I was a celibate monk for 9 years. I'm not recommending all this stuff to people. I was like driven to do it. That's my own personality. But you can learn a lot from people who've taken those routes. You don't have to do it all yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And we have to take our second break, John. And when we come back, we're going to talk about gratitude. So we've gotten so much already out of this conversation. Thank you, John. Great for being part of it and bringing forth so much information that can help people have better relationships. I love what you write. I trust what you say. And I hope that our viewers are getting so much out of this conversation. We'll be right back.
When you think about being healthy and happy, do you consider the 24 areas of your life? Probably not. With the All Things Wellness Wheel, you become self-empowered, allowing you to make healthier decisions about relationships, nutrition, sleep, exercise, stress, and even your value system. The All Things Wellness book series, written by Peggy Wilms and Dr. Marcus Betstein, teaches about the ATW wheel and brings dozens of true and personal stories from real people. The first of these multi-author books, The Fourfold Formula, features the foreword written by the Celestine Prophecy author, James Redfield, and is now available on Amazon. Reserve your spot now to become a published author in book two, Win the Wellness War, We Are Responsible. Visit allthingswellness.com/author for more information.
In a world facing annihilation, a miraculous African nun rises to become the first female pope through a web of war, murder, and betrayal. Loved by some, hated by many, she becomes the deadly target of Islamic terrorists and her own cardinals as she introduces a new vision that will either save humanity or accelerate its destruction. Four people must race against a nuclear holocaust to learn her astonishing secret. Pope Annalisa is available at petercanova.com, Amazon, and other online booksellers and bookstores worldwide.
Did you know that every word you speak matters? What you say and how you say it can make or break a relationship or shift the outcome of any situation. Are your conversations making a difference? Faith in God, gratitude, authenticity, and giving are Teresa Velarde's heart. It's in this spirit that she's focused on making a difference in the lives she's blessed to touch. Conversations That Make a Difference is now on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern Time, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy, answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we're back. Earlier, you said about gratitude being a estrogen-producing emotion or
massively stress-reducing for women.
Yes.
You know, and we men have a female side, so I have gratitude. It won't be the biggest thing to manage stress for me.
Yeah.
But at a certain point, it takes me to a higher level. Mm-hmm. To manage stress for a man, he has to be respectful of others. He has to solve problems in life. And in a relationship with a woman, he has to provide. Respect is providing what somebody needs over yourself. Okay, I'm going to honor you over me. And I have to take a difference with all these books, most gender books that talk about men and women that still aren't lost in the general neutrality thing, men need respect. Well, everybody needs respect. Women need respect 10 times more. When you respect a woman, her estrogen goes up and you're putting her above you in that situation, prioritizing her needs you're respecting her, your testosterone levels go up as a man. And we will be grateful. And then as a man, I'm grateful because I earned it. But woman needs to be grateful for basically what she has. When you have a man, and this is how you translate gratitude, because when you're grateful, you have more. You get more. The more grateful you are, the more you will get in your life. It's like opening your basket for people to give things to you.
Exactly.
So, amazing power of gratitude. When I was Oprah's coach for 7 years in the 90s, you know, her whole thing was a gratitude, because she was so far on her male side. Okay. So far that gratitude helped her come back to her female side, mm-hmm. but you have to put yourselves in situations where you have something to be grateful for. And so the way that works is the three emotions, if you give these emotions to a man, it will build his testosterone up. They're the three primary ways to express gratitude. One is appreciation. Look what you did for me. I'm so glad you're here. A phrase you can use to communicate gratitude in a way a man will respond to you in more positive ways is when he's talking, just acknowledge that, well, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, oh, you're right about that. And, oh, what a good idea. Oh, I'm so happy you're here. See, it doesn't always have to be thank you for coming. It could be that too. But I'm so happy you're here. Anytime you're actually happy in the presence of a man, he will translate that. You're grateful that he's here. I've arrived. He arrived. So those are practical ways to communicate your gratitude to a man. And for men, the way you, women often complain, men don't appreciate me. Men, and what they're saying there is, I'm not feeling like he's grateful that I'm here. Mm. Women experience your gratitude that she's in your life, men, your appreciation that she's in your life by the things you do. If you respect her, then she knows, oh, he's grateful I'm in his life. He appreciates me. Mm-hmm. So interesting is that when you respect a woman, she feels you appreciate me. When you take time to listen to her and you provide empathy and understanding, she feels, oh, he's given me what I need. And she feels gratitude for him. And it's reciprocal. She'll then feel accepting him the way he is. She'll feel trusting of him. When you're grateful for someone, you're trusting them for something. When you're grateful, you're accepting them without having to be perfect. Right. And when you're grateful, you're also appreciating what you have. You know, I wrote a book. It's one of these books behind me on success, my success. I analyzed it all. How did I do this? Okay. It was like, it's called How to Get What You Want and Want What You Have. The foundation of getting more is always being grateful for what you have. And then from a place of gratitude, you feel a desire for more. But that desire for more, it's like alchemy. When it's mixed with gratitude for what you have, it's more like a passionate preference. Okay, this is my preference. This is my hope. This is what I would like. And yet there's no attachment to the outcome if you're grateful for what you have. All the ancient books, all the philosophies always talk about, you should want things but not be attached to the outcome. Well, how do you not be attached to the outcome? You're not attached to the outcome if you're grateful for what you have right now. That's the doorway to achieve, you know, the most enlightening thing, which is how to want more and not be attached to the outcome. Because all of our fear and our anger and our angst and our anxieties and our sleeplessness is being attached to outcomes. I can't be happy unless this happens. And so what you do is you practice gratitude. It frees you from the attachment to the outcome. And at the same time, for people who are good at gratitude, they're not always good at expressing what they want. So be grateful for what you have, but also explore what you want, what you wish, and set goals. So that's your male side. Your female side is gratitude. Your male side is set goals. That's and so when you look at personal growth, we see that most people are talking about gratitude and setting goals, writing them out, very important. However, if you're a woman and you're writing out goals, and you're not grateful for what you have, you tend to become overwhelmed.
Yes.
You're not satisfied with whatever you get. And for men, if you're just grateful for what you have, nothing happens in your life. You become passive. You're too far on your female side. You also have to set goals or at least have standards that you live up to.
Yeah.
And you take action to fulfill the needs of others. You have to set yourself up that way. Yeah. So gratitude, hooray, setting goals.
Hooray. Yes, exactly. And I often say that gratitude is the key that unlocks the door to prosperity in every area of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's for me. I deserve that. I want that. Can't wait to have it. That's also a form of gratitude to anticipate having something. and feeling the gratitude right now that I'm going to have it. And that comes into faith, which is part of every religion.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to also say that one of the things that I love about this conversation is knowing how it affects each man and a woman differently. And also that about the prosperity thing. And it's not just about money. It's about relationships, which of course is your forte, your expertise. And it also is a daily gratitude practice. What do you say? I practice the way that Bob Proctor has introduced many years ago. And it says, I'm so happy and grateful now that, and you put whatever it is that you're wanting in the future tense. And it's, to me, it's very powerful. And I've seen, not that I don't.
Would you clarify in the future tense? What do you mean by that?
Okay. So I'm so happy and grateful now that I have the car of my dreams, and you fill in whatever.
It's actually in present tense. You're putting the future in present tense.
In present tense, exactly. Yes. So that you are inviting it in, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that there's so much power behind that practice, and there's so much power behind the recognition of what you have to be grateful for in any given moment. Because gratitude to me says, oh, this is so good. Let's have some more of this. And that's where it brings me in my head, in my heart. And I feel it feels really good to be able to have a gratitude practice. What do you think about that?
Oh, I have my own practice. The same thing. I add a little bit to it. What can happen is that life also sometimes is stressful. And so when it's stressful, I will process the stressful emotions. So a little process I teach is I'm frustrated because I'm disappointed that I'm concerned because I'm embarrassed that what I wish and what I want is, and now what I'm grateful for, what I'm happy, what I'm excited about, and what I'm proud of.
That's awesome.
You see, the way the brain is designed is left, right hemispheres of the brain. One's designed to see what's negative. One's designed to see what's positive. So to have balance in life, you need to look at the negative as the problem, and then you need to solve it. It's two things together. When it comes to emotions, if you keep denying negative emotions, it numbs you. So you can't fully feel the gratitude, feel the happiness, feel the excitement, and feel the self-esteem. So I always go from the negative to the positive.
That's awesome. What a great way to end this conversation. I can't believe the time has flown by, John. Time has flown by.
Very
and
fast.
I hope we'll have another chance to do this again, because you always bring such great things to my listeners, and I really appreciate you. I'm grateful.
Well, that's great. And if anybody goes to my website, marsvenus.com, be sure to let me know that you heard about this from Teresa. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
Understanding Men. It's my new exciting thing. And by the way, if you're in the West Coast, October 20th, 22nd, I'll be teaching in-person weekend seminar.
Awesome. Awesome. Sign up for that. He's an awesome teacher. And we'll see you the next time on Conversations That Make a Difference. In the meanwhile, let every conversation that you're having with other people make a difference in their lives and yours as well. We'll see you next time.
Tune in next time for Conversations That Make a Difference with host Teresa Velarde every Tuesday at 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern, with live call-in shows every first and third Tuesday on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our producer, Rachel, and to our station owner, Deborah Beauvais, working behind the scenes. Be sure to go to conversationsthatmakeadifference.com for your free gift. Make sure your conversations make a difference.